if you have a team of 12 answering one-off questions over and over again, if you can cut that down, or if you can get those people focused on other things, less redundant, and be able to kind of enable self-serve, there's value there. There's an ROI there.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. Jonathan here, founder and CEO of The Juice. I'm in from a new place today, beautiful background here in Austin, Texas for an event, not in Indianapolis, Indiana, where I hear it's gray and wet right now. More importantly, though, I am thrilled to be joined by Jesse Bourgeot-Tricky, Global Professional Services Manager at Happio. We're going to be digging into all things intranet and knowledge today within an organization. I'm excited because I've been at organizations where this is done well. And I've unfortunately also been at organizations where it's not done well. And I think this is really like a secret ingredient for a lot of companies who grow more efficiently and faster and communicate better than other organizations. I'm also encouraged because it's a topic I don't have a ton of knowledge on, no pun intended. So I'm excited to learn a lot today. And I think there are even some interesting content parallels here as well. So I'm going to stop rambling. Jesse, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background and Happio in your own words?
Great. Yeah, thanks. I'm here out of Vancouver Island, British Columbia, Canada, on the West Coast. So I'm actually coming from a background of internal communications. I did it for about 10 years at the telecom and financial institutes here in Canada. And so with that was being a communications lead, doing a lot of campaign work and doing all that kind of good stuff. But I also did oversee the intranet at the same time. So I did a variety of different projects where it was either consolidating older intranets together, migrating into bigger ones, or being able to look at setting up kind of the new wave of what was going to happen through like mergers and acquisitions. With all that experience, I ended up going to ATB, which is the financial institute here in Canada, where I was able to launch a Happio instance. And so that was kind of a migration off of SharePoint. Some of you may or may not know SharePoint, but I ended up looking to kind of see what other opportunities were available within Happio after doing that. And so that gave me the chance to start off as like an implementation consultant. I ended up getting the chance to run the team. And then from there, I was able to kind of branch out. They asked me to kind of develop a new professional services wing within the organization. So I've been doing that. And it's really interesting because I get to work with a lot of different organizations, a lot of different backgrounds, different maturity levels, as you were kind of describing before. It's just kind of really fascinating to see all these kinds of challenges and how I can help out with experience.
I think that's so cool when you're a customer of a software and you end up going to work for the software. I think that's such a cool like experience and like foundation for working at a company is when you've been on the other side. I didn't realize you were a Happio customer before joining Happio. It's a cool story.
Yeah, no, it definitely helps out because I have a lot of empathy for the clients. I know what they've been through. I've kind of seen those sort of progressions myself and gone through it. So I think they really appreciate that where I can give them that kind of insight.
Very cool. Well, this is the Content Cocktail Hour, so we always like asking our guests, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
Yeah, so I did want to call out, I've actually helped Novamex to set up their intranet in the past, and they're the providers of Yuritos Cola, our soft drinks, so I wanted to give them a shout out for their lime soda. Big fan of that. As far as drinks go, I'm probably more like an old-fashioned kind of guy, or maybe a bourbon, no cherry kind of situation. Again, like maybe a shout out for the local brewery here on Vancouver Island, their Herminator Icebox. Very delicious. It's kind of a darker beer, great for sipping by a fire around the wintertime. So yeah, I like that.
I love a good Bock. I spent some time in the brewing industry, so I'm familiar with the craft beer scene. And I think you're the first person to weave some shout outs into the answer to that question. So impressive work there. I love that, especially to a customer. Very well done.
They're really growing and we're seeing like a lot of cool stuff that they're doing within the intranet space because of that. So I'm looking forward to working with them more here in the near future.
That's the perfect segue. Let's talk all things intranet and knowledge. You know, behind the scenes, before hitting record here, I kind of had to educate myself a little bit because I see the words intranet and knowledge almost used interchangeably, but also differently, and I know they're different. So let's level set the conversation there. Can you speak to the difference in the interaction between what the intranet is and what knowledge sharing is within an organization?
Yeah. So I would say like knowledge sharing is kind of like the bigger overall concept, and it likely applies to a variety of different platforms, different processes. Teams might do it differently from team to team. They're just kind of like a internal versus external approach, depending on the organization of how they do it. The intranet is kind of like an extra layer on top of that, which typically what I'm talking about is the idea of like curation, being able to sort of create focus or attention to try and drive more of a clear understanding of, like, if I go looking for information, what's the right file, for instance? In a knowledge management system, you're trying to create that awareness, but you might not necessarily be able to make that clear within something like Drive, where it's kind of like a needle in a haystack. So having an intranet is really the ability to kind of like feature, this is the topic, these are the right files, these are the right resources. For ours, for our Happio instance, there's a lot of focus around communication and knowledge sharing as well. So it's the idea of, you know, like we can serve up these curated pages, like a sort of like a gallery in a museum. And then you're also able to use the communication tools to kind of create awareness. Like, we've created something new. We've redesigned the gallery, per se, right? Mm. Or, you know, I want to get your feedback on this. Can you tell me more about it so we can make improvements to it? So it sort of is an extra way of being able to interface with that knowledge management system. And then there's also the idea of curation, but also management down the road. So the idea of, how do you keep things sort of fresh? How do you keep it trustworthy? That's typically another sort of aspect that is part of the broader topic. But again, our intranet is there and has tools to sort of ensure that that's easier or guided in a certain way.
Fascinating. I love that gallery kind of inside of a museum. I think that's where some of the parallels between what content marketing externally and kind of this internal marketing, if you will, or knowledge sharing, curation, intranet have some parallels. That we'll dive into that a little bit later. But I'm really curious first, because like I said, I've been at organizations where this is done well and not well, and I've seen different teams manage this. You mentioned you were in internal comms at an org previously. Yeah. When you actually brought Happio intranet in, who does typically manage that? Because I imagine you work with companies that aren't so big that they don't have somebody doing, whose job is just internal comms, right? Who typically is responsible for this? And is there any correlation between who's successful doing this and who manages it within an organization?
Yeah. So there's sort of different flavors of this, is the way that I think about it. And with the smaller organizations, it's typically like, who has the most information or resources that they need to serve up to the rest of the organization first, are typically the ones who are like, I need some sort of tool or system here to make this easier on everybody. There's also efficiency gains there. So like, if you have a team of 12 answering one-off questions over and over again, if you can cut that down, or if you can get those people focused on other things, less redundant, and be able to kind of enable self-serve, there's value there. There's an ROI there, right? So I've seen it where it's a case that HR is typically one of the big proponents for it, because obviously they have a lot of employee resources and benefits. It applies to everybody at the organization. They want to look at setting it up. That's more of the traditional style intranet. But I do see flavors of this where it's like IT, like maybe it's a very tech focused company. They have a lot of resources. They have a lot of documentation they need to serve up. You might see that in the form of like a Confluence kind of setup. That's where it could be a little bit more sort of like user driven content. But maybe they're moving towards a situation where they're going, you know what, we can't necessarily let anybody do whatever they want all the time. We need more focus and structure. So we need to kind of look at shifting this to a more advanced kind of system. So that's where something like that might come in. I've also seen it, though, for things like operations being able to take advantage of this. We have different retail clients where what they do is they'll serve up sort of like today's sales initiative, or here's how we want you to get your store set up so that you're able to make sure that we're all consistent. If you go from location to location, we want to have that consistency. So they might want to look at creating these kinds of standards for distribution and reference, right? So it's typically a lot of those like internal teams that are serving the rest of the team that would be the place to kind of start. But when we think about that, I didn't even mention, you know, marketing and internal comms, like you'd mentioned. Obviously, the internal comms teams, they tend to either rest, at least from my experience, I'm either living in, you know, HR or marketing as kind of the place where you need to align, or you're getting the budget for it. Marketing definitely has their benefits too, because you want to create brand awareness, brand guidelines, be able to kind of create awareness internally of like, hey, here's the initiative we're doing today. Want to make sure that everybody's aware of it so that if clients call in, you're able to speak to it. We're all saying the same key messaging. So there's definitely sort of reasons for that. Now, that being said, what I see as like the success is where you have shared ownership. So the ideal for me when I start working with a client is where I start to see things like, it's like a three-legged stool, essentially. You got marketing or HR, you've got IT. And then the third one, which I love to see, is something like ops or sales involved, where they understand that if we're able to create this kind of system where everybody's sharing resources, there's kind of the broad layer and there's also that deeper layer. And if I can create content that is for that specific team or for those specific initiatives to make it even more relevant and put that all in one place, we're getting efficiency gains across the board. And you start to see it at that macro level, how things are making life easier for everybody. Again, for us, we have kind of like communication, static resource pages, built-in search, built-in people finding system, We're able to look through, you know, a different list of curated tools, bookmarks, all kinds of stuff like that. So it's all about the idea that the more things you see in there, the more valuable it is. And it just kind of creates that single digital home for everybody at the organization.
You mentioned the sales kind of in there. And I want to pick at that a little bit, just kind of my marketing and sales background. Do you see that when teams have really well-organized intranet and they are sharing and communicating, they've got the three-legged bar stool working, I'd have to imagine there's some correlation there between that kind of flows downhill and that actually works in how they communicate externally, right? Like it's only going to make them that much more effective in what they're doing outside of their own walls, right?
Yeah, there's two ways of thinking about that generally, I would say. One of them is just creating awareness of what everyone is doing so that we're all on the same page, right? So like I said, if you do a new sales campaign, like here's the new collateral that's been going out. Here's how we're presenting our products. We want everybody else to know how to speak the same language. That's one way. But then the other side of this is sort of the feedback loop. So what are you hearing from clients when they call in to talk about the new campaign? What did they think of that new sales approach? What about this messaging is landing or isn't resonating? What have you seen as like customer success stories? We want to know all of this so that we can start to adapt and be able to say like, hey, we've listened to our clients. This is what we're hearing from you. You know, like this is now how we're changing our overall approach. That whole concept of the feedback loop, I see that in a variety of different ways playing out in intranets, whether it's for content knowledge management generally, whether it's for these different teams as it relates to internal development and that evolution of content or that evolution of knowledge, or if you're thinking about like, what are you learning from the clients and the people that you're interacting with outside of the organization? And how do we apply that to the business? I can go deeper into all of that, but it's just one of those ones where you want to think not necessarily about just top down, but also that kind of bottom up approach is the way that we generally talk about it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Very cool. So it is 2024 here. We can't have a marketing, sales, knowledge conversation without mentioning AI. How is the application of AI kind of fitting into the intranet space? Mm-hmm. And does it excite you? Does it scare you? Kind of what's the overarching theme that you're feeling from AI in your space?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to see how quickly it's all adapted. There's a few things that really stand out to me. One of them is that, I mean, obviously for the content generation that's required within any kind of knowledge bank, I used to spend a lot of time as an internal comms person agonizing over writing, you know, internal messages or being able to develop process and policy content and things like that. So having that kind of tool that's available now to sort of speed up that overall development is very great because obviously, you know, people want to spend more time on other things and you're able to kind of create more efficiencies there. When it comes to the intranet, I mean, developing all that content could have previously been a very big barrier to entry for people because they're worried about the idea of like, oh, I got to build all this stuff to kind of create the order, to create the system. But there's a lot of tools out there now that make that much easier, whether it's obviously copy content generation, or there's the idea of just creating nice imagery to go along with it that makes it a little bit more slick and visually appealing. But on the other side of that is this idea that you're able to easily create content to the point that it becomes more important to be able to have that system and that governance in place to ensure that you are serving up the right information or that it is relevant for the audience or that it is kind of standardized or, you know, consistent across the board. You know, we're all playing around a little bit right now, but there is that kind of need, and something like an intranet, which it provides, is that idea of standardization and being able to kind of create a system for it. The other side for us within our space, we're looking at creating new tools and resources within our platform to kind of be able to take advantage of this. So we are seeing things like our search AI functionality is being developed where we're able to kind of pull from all these different places to be able to serve up an answer for you. Obviously, rather than having to dig through each of the different piles to find the right thing, I just ask a question and I get a plain text answer back, which is great for those people who are sort of used to the old ways. If we're looking at the content development, we're integrating new sort of content development tools within the site. So that image that you're thinking of in your head, we can get it to generate for you. The text that you're thinking of, yeah, we'll be able to give you a draft that's basically already there for you. Beyond that, I'm pretty excited about our knowledge engine specifically, which is getting into the next kind of phase of things, which I talked about before, like the maintenance of content. And so that idea of being able to identify gaps within your system. So if somebody goes searching for something, they don't find an answer. Typically, it's like, oh, shoot, well, that tool didn't help me. You know, it didn't give me the answer I needed. But in this case, what it's doing is creating a flag or creating that gap for the subject matter experts to be able to review and go, hey, we're missing this thing. We're going to make that for you, right? And be able to provide it. And then the feedback loop is closed where I can go back to the audience and say, hey, you know, we noticed a bunch of you looking for X. Well, we actually made something for you. So thanks again for looking, because even if you don't find something, you're creating value within the organization. We can fill that gap. We can give you that tool or that resource you need. So that's really cool to think about, because that whole moderation, that whole review side of things was very manual and difficult before. So we're looking to kind of automate that and make it simple for people.
Yeah. And that all sort of goes back to where we started this conversation on your gallery example, right? Like, and part of what we see in content marketing, and I think you're seeing the same in this intranet space, is it's never the speed of development, as you were calling it. It's never been easier to create content. And I think that's kind of shifting the balance to say that curating the right content is now actually just as important, if not more important, than the ability to create content, where I feel like we used to spend so much time, energy, and resources creating content. That's where all of our focus and attention went. And now it's like, okay, that's easier, more cost-effective, more effective just in general than ever before. And now all of a sudden, this incredible importance is being placed on the ability to curate the right information at the right time.
The other side of it is that we're trying to make the tools easier for those end users almost, or like the leadership teams within the end users, to help to curate that content. Before, you kind of were reliant on either technical expertise, so that there was somebody who sort of knew exactly how to build out that SharePoint page or things like that to put the right information in place. But with the feedback loop systems that we're able to create, or again, like creating easier pages for being able to just sort of make that quick change to add those links, to add those resources, it just makes it that much more dynamic. And so you can quickly be able to continue to rely on that resource. We're really big on this idea now of leaning into, okay, how do we empower people to continue to make this thing better? Different tools for lifecycle management, all that kind of stuff. It's absolutely the case that the Google Drive is increasing at an exponential rate. And so it just becomes even more important to be able to have that source of truth, right?
Okay, I'm going to ask you a last question before I ask you our last question here. Sure. You mentioned the Google Drive. That's what we use at The Juice right now. I've learned a lot in this conversation. Like I've said, I think this can be kind of a secret ingredient for companies. When should a company start thinking about a solution to manage this for them? And what kind of advice would you have for them on that path?
It's interesting. I've seen it happen at a few different levels. There's kind of two different approaches that I think about. One is like you start early and you try and preempt the fact that eventually you will need this. Everybody likes to think that they can kind of just grind it out early on when they're developing as an organization. But there comes to a certain point, you're just like, okay, this is killing us, right? Like, we need to do something about this. I'll normally ask the clients if they've done some sort of internal assessment or like an employee engagement survey or things like that with questions like, you know, what do you think about knowledge management, or how easy is it for you to stay in the loop, or how you define the resources you need to do your job? And you'll kind of get those indications of, okay, it's really painful for people right now to try and find things. We need to come up with a system for this. Alternatively, you know, like you get to the breaking point, you can even see it in things like retention, right? Like retention rates can be affected by the fact that it's a pain for me to try and find the right things that I need to do my job, right? I've seen it on both ends where the client's like, we know that this is going to happen. We need to do something. But then I've also seen it where it's like, we're really suffering because this hasn't been addressed yet. We need to do something now. And that's either in the case of knowledge management when it comes to things like drive systems, governance, being able to serve it up in like pages, but it's also on the other side of things like internal communications. Like, I don't know what everybody else is doing. I don't know what the org's goals or objectives are. I want to be able to feel like I'm contributing. When I do something, nothing, I don't get any celebrations. There's no social kind of aspect of me knowing that I'm part of the bigger picture. So those are all things that you kind of, like I said, you can deal with it up front, or you can wait till it's a pain point and then you can kind of address it, right?
I mean, it's classic, like proactive and kind of build it into the culture of the company, or reactive when it becomes a pain point, right? And I certainly know which I would prefer.
Yeah, I would also say like it tends to be a bigger lift if you're fixing it after the fact, because now you're kind of having to take away all of these sort of ad hoc siloed processes that people did on their own. And you're going, well, actually, sorry, I know we should have fixed this earlier, but we didn't. And you had to figure this out as a Band-Aid, but now we're actually going to fix the situation, right? Yeah.
Not to mention you're going to have to fix bad habits that everybody has built over time as well.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't talk about it, but you know, there's a lot of politics involved in this whole knowledge management side of things, depending on when you look to set it up or who it is that you need to kind of convince and all that kind of stuff. So that's another reason why it tends to help to do it sooner rather than later, is you can all get on the same page.
All right. I know it's not what you were referencing, but you mentioned politics, which is always my cue to wrap up the conversation. So I'm going to move to our infamous question here, and I'm going to swerve it a little bit for you. But what's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to maybe the knowledge management or intranet space?
I actually don't delete any of my email. So it's kind of a funny thing. Like, first of all, because of Happia, we hardly use it internally. So it's mostly stuff. But I also have the ability to search through my email through my intranet because it looks through everything at the same time. And I find it's easier and more effective and efficient for me to just simply not have to manage it at all and just wait until I'm pretty much running out of data in my email and I just delete giant chunks of it at a time. But yeah, I've gotten into some almost fights at parties talking about that kind of thing. So I just figured I'd bring that up.
You're an anarchist. I love this. Do you mark it as read or do you just leave it unread and you've got the inbox that's in the five figures constantly?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's five figures for sure. No, but I just I'll just look at the emails that are relevant. You know, I might mark them as like a starred item if I got to take care of them by the end of the day or whatever. But yeah, again, like because we don't have it for use internally, I tend to be able to address everything within one day. And then so I don't have to kind of worry about it later. The search is very effective and it's helped me more often than not to not delete or to not archive email that I just have worked it into my process. It's kind of like, what was that email I had again from like 6 months ago about this topic? Oh yeah, I can find that. And here it is. And now I have that information, right?
Man, I am fascinated. I'm a student of the inbox zero methodology.
Yeah, okay.
Like, so this is giving me like anxiety just thinking about it. We'll have to do another episode where we battle it out. What's inbox 100,000 or inbox zero, pros and cons of both. But that is certainly one of the more polarizing, unpopular opinions we've had on the show. So I appreciate you offering that up.
Great. Yeah. Glad it could cause some controversy.
I like it. Well, Jesse, if people want to learn more about Happia or learn more from you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn. That's fine.
Don't email you. I've learned.
Yeah, don't bother with that. Yeah, no. No, we've also got our happio.com is a great site to go and check it out. We've actually done a lot of revamping there. It's looking great. Cheers to our marketing team for that. So if you want to learn more about the product or want to learn more about me, I think there's some resources there that you can get in touch with me and the rest of the client-facing team too. So
awesome. Well, Jesse, I appreciate you taking the time today. This has been a really fascinating conversation. I'm excited to keep learning from you, keep the conversation rolling. To all of our watchers, to all of our listeners, thank you for joining another episode of the Content Cocktail Hour. Until next time, cheers.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.